you out of the anesthesia of your comfort zone. See, some of us are in a comatose state because you're doing all right now. You got your Mercedes 500 and you're able to make that $1,000 note, and you're doing all well on Mortgage Hill, and you're able to pay your bill at Burdine's and Macy's and Lord and Taylor. You're able to pay for your $1,000 shoes and your $700 hat. But what will you do if it all falls apart? You walking around here now, oh, you're doing all right. Got a good job. You are the supervisor. You're the supervisor. You are the supervisor. I can hear you saying it now. My name is Teresa Bradley. And see, when God blesses us sometimes, we start rolling our R's. My name is Teresa Bradley. Don't say it, Teresa Bradley. Teresa Bradley. You used to say, look at the calf run down the path eating grass. Now you, God bless you, say, look at the calf running down the path eating grass. See, hell is coming. Hell is coming. A Calvary experience is going to cross your path somewhere in your life. That may be sickness, that may be a job loss, or whatever it is. All in 1 week. When rejection sets in, and like they did Jesus, they rejected him, spat on him, and the same crowd just a few days earlier had been praising him, they are now spitting on him, slapping him, and ultimately they kill him. And then had nerve enough to string him up, just like going to the electric chair. He was lynched. When I went to see the Passion movie the other week, two young men were coming out, two teenagers, not teenagers, I don't know if teenagers or not, but they had their pants low, that's all right. Had their hair plaited coming on out. One had on a LeBron James jersey. He was coming on out. He used some profanity about what he had just seen. And I can't repeat what they said, but they were very explicit in their profanation. They said, boy, didn't they expletive delete Jesus? Oh, boy, they messed him up. And then he looked over at me and said, oh, my God, he said, aren't you? Brother said, that's Dr. Carter from Monado. I've seen you on the tube. Did you hear what we just said? I said, yes, I heard every bit of it. I said, I don't agree with your profanation. I said, but your theology is correct. Let's sit on the bench and talk about it a moment. And we sat there 15 or 20 minutes, and they asked me different questions about it. And then promised me they're going to come to church here. Come and visit us here. See, that's a part of ministry, and I don't want to get sidetracked on that. And then up comes this white sister, two of them coming by, and said to us surreptitiously, oh, wasn't that rough the way they did our Lord? Have you ever seen anything like that? And I said to her, I said, well, the crucifixion of Jesus is in a class by itself. I said, but you know, our people are used to that. And I pulled out the Jet magazine that I took up there on purpose, just in case. You see, the Lord had me to take it up there with a picture of Emmett Till. How he was beaten in Money, Mississippi in 1955, and how he was brutalized. And I showed this lady, she said, what is this? Who did this? I said, that's what y'all did in 1955. I said, black folk have been lynched down through the years. I said, all the crucifixion was a lynching. He was God's only son. He was the fairest of 10,000. And yet they wiped him. Talk to me, somebody. You got to be careful as you're being blessed. Talk to me, somebody. Because if you're not careful, your Calvary experience will exterminate you. There are a whole lot of people who go to church. Give me about 3 minutes and I'm out of here. Listen here. There are some people who go to church. They go to church because they're doing all right. Talk to me, somebody. But time something happens that you can't explain, and you start move from the declarative and the imperative mood and skip into the interrogative. You start asking a million questions. Why God let this happen? Why God let that happen? Why God let that happen? But somehow or other, we got to have the faith which says, I don't know what God's doing, but I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna wait until my change comes. Now notice, after they had praised him, Hosanna, notice after they had crucified him, God didn't like it. Because what happened when he died? The Bible said that was a cosmic upheaval. An earthquake took place. Why did the rock start crumbling? Because the Rock of Ages was hanging on the cross. The Bible said the sun closed itself in disgust. Talk to me, somebody. Why did that happen? Because Jesus was the light of the world. Talk to me, somebody. Or you better give him praise in this house. And then when he went to Calvary, notice he didn't take it out on his enemies. We got to learn how to start blessing enemies. Folk who don't like you in the church. Talk to me, somebody. I don't ever get up in church and preach on my enemies. I got something though, in every church somebody doesn't like you. But that ain't the story. I didn't come here to talk about who didn't like me. I'm going to find out who loves Jesus. Y'all going to make me preach in here this morning. I want to find out, do you love Jesus? But you know, Jesus said, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. And you know, ignorant folk can do a whole lot of damage when you don't know what you're doing. I shared with you some years ago, I was going to surprise Pat when we lived in Kentucky. I was going to fix some mashed potatoes, green beans, and make a meatloaf. Lord have mercy. And that meatloaf was something, boy. It was pretty, though. I think Pat will tell you that. I went in there and knitted it and put it together, you know, and got a great big can of green beans and put a little paprika in it and some bacon bits and cooked that sucker down. And I thought I had it made. And then made some mashed potatoes and put them in there, you know, and beat them up and put my milk in, my cream and my butter and got it just right. Came in there, Pat said, what are you doing? What did I smell? I said, look here. I pulled out my meatloaf. I said, da, da, da. She said, oh, man, she kissed me. She said, oh, my baby. Feed me some dinner. My baby is coming up. And then she took the knife and cut the meatloaf. And the meatloaf crumbled, just crumbled. And she said, baby, I said, what happened to it? She said, what did you put in it? I said, nothing. She just said, that's why it crumbled. See, some of you just like that meatloaf. If you don't have something in you that hold the rain. Can I get some help in here? Hold the rain. Let me say this. And I'm finished. But let me say this. You see, you can't stop God's blessing plan. See, Good Friday is nothing but prelude to Easter Sunday morning. You see, festival follows funeral, and Easter will answer all of Good Friday's questions. You see, if you can go through your hallelujah, go through your hell and your hosanna, look out. Your hallelujah is around the corner. Can I get some help in here? I'm trying to tell somebody, you're going to be blessed. Just because the devil has knocked you down and knocked you out, he has not wiped you out. There's a blessing. Oh, you ought to help me this month. Ah, there's a blessing. When Jesus was dying on the cross, he said in Greek, tetelestai, which means paid in full. In other words, he wouldn't die until he finished his work. In other words, he was in his office and he was signing some cosmic redemptive papers. And he wouldn't die until he finished it. Let everybody criticize it. Say whatever you want down there. But I got to finish my work. That's what I got to do. I can't pay no attention to folk. I got to finish my work. Talk to me, somebody. And when Jesus had finished and made sure that I was cut in on the plan of salvation, he said in Greek, tetelestai, which means finished. Have mercy, Jesus. He said, finish is all paid now. Can I get some help in here? You see, just because you have been knocked down doesn't mean you can't get up. Some of us had babies out of wedlock. Folk talked about you like a dog. Can I get some help in here? And a whole lot more had babies out of wedlock. We just and a whole talking about folk and tying folk down. My thing is, if you had one out of wedlock, still come on to the house of the Lord. There's a resurrection in here. God will bless you. Can I get some help in here? How many of you know you can get up? How many of you know you can get up? How many of you know you can get up? How many of you know you can get up? How many of you know you can get up? You see, Jesus got up. Yes, he did. I said, Jesus got up. Yes, he did. I said, Jesus got up. Yes, he did. Jesus got up. I don't care how you praise me. I don't care how much hell I catch. Don't you count me out. My resurrection is just around the corner. Get up. I said, get up. Get up. Get up. Get up. Get up. Get up. Ooh, Lord. Oh, get up. Uh-huh. I was sharing this morning. You know, I was watching the old Popeye movie. And Bluto had beaten Popeye to a pulp. Popeye was on the ground. Lord, just beat him all up. Knocked him down. Had him all.
Hope you were blessed and revived by the KAYT Gospel Hour. As we venture back in the past for a time of revival with oldies and goodies in sermon and song.
Lead me on.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul.
I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1, K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9, K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5, KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message, already in progress, by Reverend Joseph Garner.
out and saw some faces that I didn't see early. I saw see Tosca McPherson here. God bless you. As a matter of fact, those of you who are home for the holidays, would you stand? You're home for the holidays. Stand up. Okay, amen. God bless you. Amen. All right. Is it Quentin?
Yes, sir.
Quentin, amen. God bless you. So happy to see you. Y'all, I've been missing the Terry family, and those of you who are close to them, I need to... They're back?
They're back.
Okay, they're not here, though.
Kids are sick.
Okay, the kids are sick. All right. I'm just checking. So happy to see Sister Chris Clark here this morning.
Yes.
Amen. She is a great servant to our community, and we thank God for her. In the book of John chapter 4, I've been struggling to get this message together for some time now, and I still didn't finish it. Y'all will have to forgive me. I just gotta go on and give you what I have. A few weeks ago, Sister Wilson, you may remember, I asked you to have the choir ready to do, what was the song? God Made Me, amen. It was because my plan was to preach this sermon, but we didn't finish it, amen. And we still haven't finished it, but the Lord is going to have his way today with your prayers. All right, the book of John. Now, this is a long reading, so that's why I'm not going to ask you to stand. John chapter 4, I'm going to read for your hearing verses 1 through 24. Amen. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that hath said to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Verse 14, But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship.
Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. For just a few moments this morning, I want to speak from the subject, to thine own self be true. To thine own self be true. Thank you, ushers. In William Shakespeare's Hamlet, Act 1 and Scene 3, Polonius gives his last piece of advice to his son Laertes, who is in a hurry to get on the next boat to Paris, where he'll be safe from his father's long-winded speeches. But before he could get away, Polonius says this, and I quote, This above all, to thine own self be true. Polonius has in mind something much more Elizabethan than the New Age self-knowledge that the phrase now suggests. As Polonius sees it, borrowing money, loaning money, carousing with women of dubious character, and other intemperate pursuits are false to the self. By false, Polonius seems to mean disadvantageous or detrimental to your image. By true, he means loyal to your own best interest. In other words, take care of yourself first, he counsels. And that way, you will be in a position to take care of others. Tell your neighbor, to thine own self, be true.
Be true.
Y'all, those words have reverberated throughout history since William Shakespeare penned those profound and poignant words. It sounds rather simple when you think about it, but in essence, it simply means be true to yourself, about yourself, with yourself. Because when you're honest to yourself, about yourself, with yourself, you no longer feel the temptation to impress anybody else. When you honor the essence of who you are, when you refuse to allow yourself to be seduced by the temptation to be fraudulent, it is then that people have to accept you based upon the merit of who you really are. I am amazed at how many of us find ourselves pretending to be something that we are not, simply because there is something about ourselves that we don't like. Perhaps we don't like the narrative of our lives that has been constructed by time and by God, so we create stories about ourselves that are not rooted and grounded in the truth. We create images and ideas about ourselves, hoping to gain the attention and admiration of other people. We embellish our own stories so that we can appear more impressive to people who don't know us and probably wouldn't like us if they did. The sad reality is that we embellish the storyline of our